Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Vegan Proteins Muscles by Brussels Radio. I'm Danny.
And I'm Giacomo.
And today we're going to be talking about how to tell if you're making the kind of progress you want to be making or not. All right, well, welcome back, everybody. This is our sixth episode. Thank you for tuning in. If you've been listening from the beginning, thank you so much. And if this is your first time listening in, quick backstory, Giacomo and I are the owners of veganproteins.com, which is an online vegan supplement store, and we're also the founders of Team Plant Build, which is the vegan muscle team. Well, we hope everybody else out there is safe and warm. We're in Massachusetts, and we just got absolutely annihilated with Blizzard Juno. Just absolutely buried in snow and couldn't leave the house for a couple days. And luckily, we were able to get some of our workouts on at our home gym, which isn't quite as nice as our regular gym. Doesn't have the same equipment, but we were still able to get our workouts in. We actually took in my sister's animals because her house loses power really frequently during the storm, so we had 10 animals in our little two-bedroom apartment.
I almost felt like we were running a rescue over here between all the animals that we had.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Three dogs, four cats, a rat, and two ball pythons.
That's it?
So it was a pretty hectic couple of days, but we managed to get everything in. So this podcast is probably going up a day late, but hopefully you understand. So we're about a month into the new year. We've got a couple days left of January, and we have sort of seen the New Year's crowd, you know, all the new faces that you see right around the New Year. We've sort of seen them fizzle out for the most part.
Right. I mean, because at this point, people are either, usually it's what, 21 days to make or break a habit. Either they're going to keep doing it at this point, or they're just going to fall off the wagon completely, and you probably won't see them at the gym anymore. And that is kind of discouraging.
But why do you think that happens?
Well, I mean, one, the gym is a major time commitment. And, you know, say you miss a workout here or there and you start to realize how much time you're putting into it, it can be easier and easier to procrastinate and put it off.
Okay. Yeah, that's one reason. But I think another reason, you know, we've seen a lot of people in the gym over and over and over since the beginning of January, and now they're starting to not come anymore. And just from, you know, chatting with people in the gym, I've come to realize a lot of people are just really frustrated. They feel like they've been working their tails off for a month and they don't feel like it's actually doing anything, and they're discouraged by what they perceive to be a lack of progress.
Exactly. And I mean, it's really hard to say where that's coming from, because think about it. You could have somebody that is either frustrated that they're not seeing progress because they're trying to see real fast changes, or they're looking at other people in the gym who are regulars and saying, why can't I look like that person already? Or why can't I look like what I want to look like in 6 months now? And that can be discouraging. You could have other people that are just probably beating the ever-loving shit out of themselves in the gym. And at this point, they're like, oh, well, I'm just so freaking tired and I have no energy anymore.
I have nothing to show for it.
Exactly. And that can be very problematic. And I think that's actually a common mistake. I mean, I know I've done that myself, where I've been training for years consistently, stopped for a while for whatever reason and got back into it, and I just try to be a superhero in there, and it's 5 days later and I don't want to lift another weight again for days. So I think that's a common mistake, actually.
But today we're not going to be talking about how to get into working out. That's not the discussion we're having today. Today we're talking about these people, or anybody really, this is just something that I've noticed lately, you know, not being able to see the progress that they're making. And, you know, I coach a lot of people and I see a lot of people feeling like they haven't made any progress in forever. And, you know, it's just not true. You just don't know how to look at it properly. And this isn't, you know, me blowing smoke up people's asses and saying, no, you've made tons of progress, when it's like they haven't made any progress at all. It's just a lot of people have a skewed vision of what progress should look like and how quickly it should come, and things like that.
Well, people are also hard on themselves, too. They have this discipline and this focus and this drive to get towards a goal, and they're criticizing themselves perhaps a little bit too sharply, and that can lead to, like you said, skewed visions of actual progress.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the first things that I want to talk about as far as measuring your own progress, because not everybody has a coach. Not everybody's going to have a coach to sit behind their shoulder and be like, no, you look good. You're doing good. So sometimes you have to be able to find that coach within yourself and be able to coach yourself through these things. And one of the biggest things is you have to remember that you live in your body every single day. You're not going to see the changes very easily. Unless you take the proper steps along the way, you're not going to notice. I mean, your body could change significantly and you might not notice because you saw it happening every single day.
And you might ask yourself, well, why can't I see my own progress? You know, I should be able to criticize myself even if I see what's going on every day. But if you think about it, look at the people who are around you that see you every day. They probably can't see the progress as well. Whereas you take, say, Aunt Sally, who you haven't seen in 3 months, you come back and she'll be like, oh my gosh, look how much you've changed. What, there's something different. But then you take, you know, your partner, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, they might see you every day and not even notice these subtle changes. So they can be really hard to quantify and to see.
So one of the things, well, there's a few things that I want to talk about as far as checking your own progress. One of the best things you can possibly do to gauge your own progress is to take progress pictures. I believe this so much, and they're a pain in the ass to take, and nobody likes taking them ever. It's not a fun process to take them. But when it's time to look back and see how far you've come, there is no better tool than well-taken progress photos.
And making sure that you're taking the right kinds of photos and, you know, similar lighting, similar posing. There's a lot of factors that go into it. And like Danny said, I mean, everybody just wants to see the before body and the after body and not the process to get there, forgetting about the fact that it takes a while to get there and you have to stay motivated and realize that you're headed in the right direction. And that's where the checking in with yourself more than once every 6 months is going to help you mentally assess where you are and also realize that you are in fact making progress, or if you're not, to find ways to change it.
Yeah, Giacomo said a couple of really important things there. When you're taking progress photos, you really want to make sure you take them under the same conditions every time. Now, it's not going to be exactly the same. You can never have the lighting exactly the same, but I like to take them in the same spot every time, in the same clothes every time, with my camera at the exact same point every time, so it's from the same angle. The lighting changes quite a bit depending on the weather. I take them at the same time of day. I take them in the morning when I wake up before I eat breakfast. But it's consistent. It's always consistent. And that's the most important thing. If you start take one in the morning and one after three meals and in slightly different clothes.
One outside in perfect lighting. Yeah. One inside with terrible lighting.
These things all change it. And there's nothing glamorous about a progress photo. Okay? There's there's nothing cute. There's nothing, stylish or well-styled, I should say, about a progress photo. It's basically your body in its most true form. And that, you know, sometimes that's not always what we want to see. We don't want to see ourselves in, like, basically the most unflattering positions and conditions that there are. But that's how you're going to be able to notice true progress.
You have to track that progress to make sure that you're on the right path getting towards your goals. And don't get me wrong. There's nothing that is wrong with all of a sudden you see the perfect conditions for the perfect selfie or something or whatever it is. You just see an opportunity where you know that you're going to look good with this particular pose and this lighting, and you just want to take that picture to feel good about yourself. That's fine.
Yeah, you're not a true gym rat if you don't take advantage of good Seriously. Lighting to take pictures of yourself.
I mean, Flex Friday, right? We all love to show off our progress and to feel good about ourselves, whether it's on social media or it's just for ourselves to flash back and look at that photo. We all want that perfect picture of ourselves, but that is not the type of picture that you should be comparing yourself to week, month to month, or in general. Progress photos should be, like Danny said, the same type of photo and taking those photos over time, mm-hmm. and to assess them every once in a while.
Now, how often should you take them is a question I get asked a lot. It depends, really. It depends, I think, on how neurotic you are. I'm I'm pretty neurotic about these things. And I also see my own body as an experiment that I'm learning about every day. So I take mine pretty regularly, once a week for a long time. Right now I'm doing it once every other week. I'll probably do it every week during prep. And for my own clients, I have them take them every week because I want to learn their bodies the same way I want to learn mine. That's important to know how my clients' bodies are working too. But you don't have to take them every week. You could take them once a month. You could take them every other month. I mean, it's really also important to make sure that you're checking out. You're not going to see big changes week to week. You might not see any changes week to week. You might see such minute changes week to week that you don't even know if it's actually a change or it's just like a shadow and the lighting
is
slightly
different.
That is
so hard to accept, too, the fact that you're not seeing those changes week to week. I mean, we've been at this for a while, and sometimes we do it to ourselves where we look at the picture from the week prior and we're like, oh, did something go wrong? But try to think of it like a flip book, you know? Each picture is just slightly different, and if you look at two pages back to back, you can hardly see any changes. But if you flip through that whole book, you can see the transformation.
Right.
So, you know?
So you got to make sure you're looking back far enough to make comparisons. If I look at my client's pictures from week to week, I couldn't even tell you which one was, a lot of times, I couldn't even tell you which one was this week and which one was last week. But if you show me the pictures of my clients 2 months ago and today, then it's very, very clear to see the changes. And that's why it's so important to take these pictures regularly, because you never know when you're going to want to look back to a certain point and make a comparison. And that's how you're going to make progress.
And that goes for any changes that you're tracking week to week.
So another way that you can track your progress, if you want to take progress pictures once every couple months, something you can do in the interim is take your measurements. Measurements can help you see where exactly you're changing when you can't necessarily see it in the photos. Measurements are going to tell you so much about the way the shape of your body is changing. Measuring, I have my clients measure a lot of different spots, but namely your waist, your hips, your butt, your thighs, your biceps, your navel is probably a huge one because women have, you know, generally have little waists. When women measure their waist, they measure it at the smallest part of their waist, which is usually pretty small. But generally speaking, the navel, the belly button area is bigger, and that's what's going to change first. So I like to have people measure that as well.
Yeah, measuring at the waist can be very encouraging since that's...
Men, your waist measurement is your belly button. guys that measure their waist at two different spots, I don't know, it's your belly button. It's just your belly button. Anyway. So taking measurements is super, super important. You know, if you don't see the scale moving, that doesn't mean anything because your measurements could be changing in a certain direction. And that's going to give you an indication of whether you're losing body fat or building muscle or both. Taking your measurements is super important. And along with that, how your clothes fit.
Yeah. I mean, muscle weighs way more than fat pound for pound. And as your body
No, you did not just say muscle weighs more than fat. Pound for pound.
I did.
Ugh. Okay. What weighs more, a pound of muscle or a pound of fat, Giacomo?
Pound of muscle.
Okay, try again. I'm putting that in. I'm not editing that out.
No, you better edit that out. Mm-mm. You better edit that
I'm
out.
I'm not editing it out.
You have to edit that
so
out.
So what he means to say is that muscle is more dense than fat, pound for pound. So a pound of muscle is smaller in size than a pound of fat.
Thank you, Captain Grammar.
Yeah, no problem. So
anyhow, you get my point.
Your size can change without your weight changing.
Correct.
So moving on to the way your clothes fit. If you hate mirrors and hate taking your measurements and get really hung up on numbers, sometimes just checking out the way your clothes fit can be a great indicator of progress. But I will shoot a warning to the ladies. If you are strength training, this happens so, so often. Clothes are not made to fit women with muscle. It's just the way it is. So a lot of women freak out and think that they're regressing when the thighs of their jeans are tight or the shoulders of their shirts are tight. And that is not necessarily true. Mostly be focusing on the waist. if the waist of your pants, if that feels looser. I mean, if your goal is to lose weight, if you have a significant amount of weight to lose, yes, you don't want any parts of your clothes to necessarily be getting tighter. But if you don't really have much weight that you are looking to lose and you're more looking to just change your body composition, sometimes your, you know, your calves, your thighs are going to feel a little snug in your jeans, especially if those jeans fit your waist.
And that holds true for men as well. Let me tell you how annoying it can be to not be able to fit into pretty much any pair of jeans unless you go 3 inches up on your waist size. That's not good.
Right. So that can be frustrating. As you make progress, you'll notice the waist on a lot of your clothing getting bigger, but not necessarily anywhere else. Other places might get tighter. Just things to be aware of, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're not making progress. Let's talk about a completely non-physique related way to gauge your progress.
Your strength. Strength can be a great indicator of whether or not you're making progress, and if you're not, to figure out why. If you're getting strong, if you're able to lift more weight, basically, whether it's your repetitions, you're able to get out more reps, or you're able to push higher pounds.
Are you getting stronger? That's progress. That's huge progress. And as long as you keep making that kind of progress, other changes will follow suit. So if you're not necessarily seeing changes in the mirror or the scale or your measurements yet, are you getting stronger? Then you are still making progress. And do not sell yourself short there.
And, you know, some people, quite frankly, aren't really concerned about their physique. They're more concerned about their strength levels. They just want to be a stronger
person,
and vice versa. Mm-hmm. But they're interchangeable. If you're more concerned about your strength and your appearance, but your appearance is changing, clearly you're making progress.
I wouldn't necessarily say they're interchangeable, but they are very, very related to each other. They don't always have to be, but oftentimes they are.
Right.
So strength is not something to be neglected. And, you know, guys tend to sort of ego lift more than women do.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So guys will progress up in weight whether or not they're necessarily ready to do that, whereas women will hold themselves back from lifting heavier weights. You know, if they get to a point where they can easily do 15 reps with something, they may not necessarily increase to the next weight. They may just keep lifting that. You want to keep increasing the amount of weight that you can lift safely and with good form, and keep that number moving in the correct direction, and that will get you stronger and will eventually lead to plenty of physical changes as well, as long as you're consistent.
Don't be afraid to push. If you're pushing too hard, though, maybe scale it back and allow the progress to happen at the rate it's supposed to, because the last thing you want to do is injure yourself, put yourself out of commission for months because you just had to lift more and more and more.
And lastly, you know, along with the idea of are you getting stronger, I'm sure we have people listening to this podcast who aren't necessarily strength-based athletes. I'm sure we have plenty of endurance athletes, and the same sort of thing applies as far as endurance goes. Is your endurance getting better? Are you getting faster? Sort of the same thing. Progress does not have to just be measured on your physical body. It can be measured through your workouts, which is why I seriously recommend tracking your workouts, whether they are endurance sports or lifting. You want to make sure that you track exactly what you're doing, you know, if you're running or biking, for how long and how far did you go, because then you're able to track whether or not you're improving. So always track your workouts, because it's just another way to gauge your progress.
And be critical about the way that you assess what you're tracking, but know how to process it. You know, don't look at things so close. Don't look at the results that you're getting so close to each other and engage your progress on, or lack thereof, on what happened the week prior versus the following week you checked in.
Right. It's the same thing as the progress photos. You don't necessarily want to look from week to week. You want to be able to look back a month.
Still good
two
to have
months.
That data regardless.
Of course, you always want to have that data because certain things can happen. Maybe you underate for a couple days and you will see your strength probably will go down and you may not know why. The more you're your own science experiment. You're your own walking biology project, and the more data you can keep on yourself, the better off you're going to be. So that's my little mini rant there. Okay, so the last way that I think is a great way to track progress is just how do you feel, right? I mean, so many people get into fitness and a lot of their, one of their main goals, I mean, maybe one of them is I want to lose 15 pounds, but then usually one of them is I want to feel better. You know, they have crummy energy or they just feel kind of sluggish and depressed or they want to feel better. Well, are you feeling better? Then you're making progress. Something is going right. If you start working out and you realize you feel like crap, well, then maybe you pushed it too hard or you severely underate or something. But it's just another way to gauge progress.
Well, I mean, there's going to be some level of fatigue after you train. And you know, there's muscle soreness that sets in. You've just taxed your central nervous system from focusing in the gym really hard and pushing yourself to the limit. But how long is that fatigue and how long is that mental exhaustion lasting for? And if it's lasting for days and possibly even weeks, you need to check yourself.
Yeah. Is your overall quality of life improving or decreasing since you started working out? You know, these are important things to think about. It's about so much more than how much weight you can lift or how much you weigh, or this is a lifestyle and this is your life and it needs to not suck. So how you feel is an important gauge of progress as well.
Absolutely.
So some ways that we've touched on a little bit that are not good ways to gauge progress, just ways to trap yourself in feelings of discouragement and possibly just throw your hands up in the air and say, I quit.
I think that the number one thing on this list is...
By far.
Yeah, I guess we're on the same wavelength here, is the scale. Judging your progress or lack thereof on the scale and how much you weigh.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This is the number one thing people get hung up on. So hung up on is the scale. They become obsessed with this number and they have this like magical number in their mind that they want to hit, whether that's a weight loss goal or a lot of times it's a weight gain goal. They want to hit 200 pounds. They just focused on 200 pounds and they don't care how they get there. Or, you know, a chick wants to hit 115 pounds and they'll do anything to get there. And anytime they gain a pound, you just get so neurotic and you feel like a failure. And the scale is literally one factor of so many. And like if I had a client who just gave me their weight every week and no pictures and no measurements, I couldn't tell you anything about the progress they are making or not making. Nothing.
Well, it's like someone says, you know, I want to weigh 185 pounds because I think that I know that I'm going to look the best at this body weight. Okay. And I also want to look, I mean, do you want to look good or do you want to be hung up on a number? If right. You haven't gotten to your goal yet in whatever it is that you want to look like, whether it's having a slim waist or whether it's being super strong, whatever it is, how could you possibly know what your ideal body weight is? You just
you
don't. You're growing into your body. Give yourself some time to get there.
Yep.
And then the other thing is, you know, maybe you've been there in the past and it's like, well, when I was 18 years old, I weighed this body weight and
yes.
I had this much muscle.
That's a huge thing. People are like, I looked the best when I was in high school and I weighed this much and I want to do that again. It's like, well, you're not that person anymore.
Exactly.
You're a different person now. You may look completely different at that weight now. You have no idea what you're about to look like or feel like or the strength you're going to have at this specific weight.
So
why are you hung up on it?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand. I mean, I don't think there's a person in the world who hasn't occasionally been frustrated by what the scale says. We've all been there. And I, you know, society puts such a huge emphasis on how much you weigh that it's just ingrained in so many of us at this point. But I've been doing this long enough to know how useless the scale is in so many ways. Now, it's not completely useless. You shouldn't rule out your weight entirely. It's just another piece of data to put in the chart and, you know, use as a gauge of progress. I'll use an example. I have a client right now whom I love to death, and she is cutting. So she's actively trying to shed body fat, and she hasn't lost any weight on the scale in, I want to say, like 3 weeks or so. And she's starting to get really stressed out about this. Why aren't I losing weight? Why aren't I losing weight? But every time she checks in with me, her measurements are all down. And when I look at her pictures, she is clearly tighter. So what this says to me is you're smaller, you're tighter and leaner, and your weight is up. This is textbook body recomposition, which is actually a really amazing thing because she's fairly advanced.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, that is literally the best case scenario. If I could...
I'd kill for that.
If I could cut, you know, pounds of fat right now and maintain my body weight of 140 pounds, that would be awesome, you know?
Usually you lose both at the same time or you gain both at the same time. But if you can build so much muscle that it makes up for the body fat that you're losing to the point where you're gaining weight, I mean, you're in a perfectly ideal situation. That everybody should want just that.
And the same goes for somebody who's trying to build muscle. I know that Giacomo has built a significant amount of muscle this year, but his body weight hasn't really gone up. The scale hasn't really moved up. He's just leaner.
Exactly.
So
the
he
same.
Has less body fat and he has more muscle and he's weighing the same amount.
You can
so it's
see
just
it
better
in
body composition and it's pretty clear. But if you get hung up on just the number on the scale, then you feel like a failure. You feel like you're doing something wrong and you feel like you're not making any progress, which couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah, I mean, forget people. I mean, not only when people wanting to lose weight, if your goal is to bulk up and to be massive and you're not gaining weight, then you might wind up overeating and just putting on way too much fat, thinking that you're bulking up.
Thinking that that's the progress.
So, you know, it's the
same way.
Ditto
with losing weight. You could starve yourself and just lose a bunch of weight and you'd probably lose a fair amount of muscle and you just end up being skinny fat.
Yeah, or you can just eat a shit ton of food because you want to get massive and then shoot yourself in the foot because you have to shed all that body fat down instead of keeping your body at a level weight where you can, like Danny's saying, tweak things where you're losing body fat and gaining muscle at the
right.
same time.
And that's, you know, typically a slower process, but it's almost always a more long-lasting
exactly
process. You get the longer-lasting results that way. Anyway, that is our very long-winded way of saying the scale is no more important than any of your other measurements of progress. So do not get hung up on it. It is a tiny piece of data. It literally measures one thing, and that is your relation to gravity. When you think about it that way, it really is not that big of a deal. So another poor way of gauging your progress, we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier. So it goes along with progress photos, but it's taking crappy progress photos or the selfie. Selfies are terrible ways to gauge your progress. You can almost guarantee, if I shouldn't say they're terrible ways. I've seen some people do this well, but most people are getting them from a different angle, in different lighting, every single time. You can't get good shots of your backside properly, or even your sides, by taking a picture of yourself in a mirror. It's hard to get in the same positions. It is just not a good way. When people send me selfies, I say, please retake your progress photos, because this tells me nothing.
And they're usually not full body shots either, are they?
A lot of times they're not, because it's hard to get your whole body in a mirror. Whereas you can get your full body in a true progress photo. Which reminds me, super tip. If you've made it this far, I'm about to give you a super tip for taking progress photos. So if you have an iPhone or anything with a self-facing camera, set it up either, you know, tape it to the wall or put it on a chair and put it in the same spot every time, face it to yourself. So do the self-facing camera and video yourself. Start a video and get in front of it. Make sure your whole body is in the shot and do quarter turns. So face the camera, turn to your right again. So your back is facing the camera, turn to your right again. So your other side is facing the camera and then go stop the video. Go watch the video and pause it at each point and screen cap it. That is my absolute favorite tip for taking progress photos. I do it every single week, and they're the most consistent photos I've ever gotten in my entire life. So that's what you get for making it however long into the podcast this is. My little self-progress photo tip.
It's funny not to go out too off topic. As soon as you say quarter turn, my mind just thought of being on stage and having a judge say quarter turn. That's what they usually do to you.
Right. If you're actually taking progress photos for a bodybuilding show, that you do your actual quarter turns,
right,
with the, you know, quarter turn poses. Anyway, selfies, not a good way to gauge progress. So you can take whatever pictures of yourself you want. Just don't use those to gauge your progress.
Finally, another way to not gauge your progress is to judge yourself against others. And I think we're all guilty of this as well at one point or another, especially when you're at the gym, because that's when, you know, you're face to face with other people and you see maybe they have some sort of aesthetic appearance that, you know, maybe their biceps are just naturally larger than yours.
Or maybe they're just lifting a crazy amount of weight that you can't even comprehend.
Or maybe they've just been at it for the past 5 to 7 years or whatever.
You don't know.
It is. Yeah. But basically, the point that I want to make about not comparing yourself to others is that, yes, there are some similar physiques, and you can find someone else that has a very similar physique to you and sort of gauge yourself against that, or have a role model, so to speak. But ultimately, you're going to look completely unique to yourself, and your best, the person you should be comparing yourself to is yourself and yourself only, because that's, you should aspire to be a better you, basically.
Yeah. Instagram has sort of bred this whole fitness selfie culture. And on the one hand, it's kind of motivating, and I like to see other people working out. And on the other hand, you have people who are just like selfie-taking pros who literally have like rooms set up in their house to take the perfect selfies of themselves in their cute workout clothes with their perfect hair and their waist twisted ever so slightly to the side so it looks smaller, et cetera, yada, yada, yada. And you end up sitting there flipping through these photos feeling like crap about yourself. And what you're not realizing is you don't know anything about this person. This person has may have been at this for years. This person may have an eating disorder or be really, really depressed and is looking for some sort of outside approval. They could just, you know, be super confident. They could be totally happy and have been working at this for 15 years. Like, you don't know. You don't know anything about them, and your journey is completely unique to theirs. You just can't be gauging yourself against other people's progress. Or, you know, you see some people who do a 12-week cut and literally look like a different person in 12 weeks. You don't know what they're doing. You don't know if they are truly busting their asses and like have it dialed in that good, or if they have incredible genetics, or if they're on some kind of additional supplement, she said in quotation marks. So you can't compare yourself to that. You can Photoshop photos on Instagram. You can go, there are apps that you can go in and literally make your butt bigger, for example, on Instagram.
Well, I remember watching Bigger, Faster, and Stronger with you. It's on Netflix, right? For anyone else that wants to watch it. There was a part where, you ever see those magazine advertisements for fat burners like HydroxyCut or whatever, and they have before and after pictures and they're drastically different. And even photoshopping aside, there's just so many
tricks.
They
do it all in the same day.
Same day.
They do the before and after picture with the same person in the same day. Like,
and that person's not doing anything differently, nope. By the way, they're not cutting water. They're not manipulating their physique in any way. The photographer
is, it's the way they're standing. It's the lighting. It's the fact that they airbrush abs onto them sometimes. Like, the whole point is we all get hung up on this sometimes. And it's just, it's unnecessary. And it will only make you feel bad about yourself. You're never going to flip through these pictures and feel really, really good about yourself. If you're comparing yourself to them, you can be happy for somebody else. Absolutely. You can be inspired by somebody else. Totally. And that's one of the reasons that I love Instagram so much. But if you are comparing yourself to other people, you're going to end up feeling bad about yourself and inferior, and you will feel discouraged with your own progress. Well, how does she look like a completely different person in 12 weeks? It's like, I've been at this for 12 weeks. I look exactly the same, which you probably don't look exactly the same. But in comparison, you're going to feel that way. Just keep your head down. Focus on what you are doing. You have to focus just on what you are doing.
Remember, the other thing you have to realize about these 12-week transformation photos are some people aren't trying to make progress in 12 weeks. Some people are preparing for a specific event like a bodybuilding show or a photo shoot or something, and the results that they're looking to get in 12 weeks are not sustainable, and they know it, and they're not, you know, but maybe they're marketing those results.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is a lot of people are not open about that.
For whatever reason, trying to sell a product, sell themselves, whatever it is. And like Danny said, people are not open about that.
And it just gives a false impression of what is attainable in a certain span of time, as though this person walks around like that all year long. And that's not the way it goes.
Yep.
And all of these pictures are taken with perfect lighting, perfect makeup. You know, a lot of Fitspo accounts have professional photo shoots done all the time, and they're probably retouched in production. But my point is, just take everything you see on social media with a huge grain of salt, and that could be a podcast episode in and of itself. Absolutely. But the point is, do not gauge your progress by other people. So hopefully everything we've talked about today will help you to more realistically gauge your progress, so you don't get discouraged every week or every other week feeling like you're not making any progress at all. As long as you're tracking everything, you can see whether or not that's true and be honest with yourself. Are you really making progress? Are you really not making progress? What can you do to change that? Don't just throw in the towel, because you can guarantee you won't make any progress that way.
Moving on to our product review segment. Today we'd like to talk about the Badass Vegan Power Shake by Badass Vegan. And this is actually a newer item in our store at Vegan Proteins. And it's pretty good. I got a chance to try some myself. Let's see. It's gluten-free, soy-free, mostly organic. It's got a ton of fruit and vegetables in there. The protein is pea, hemp, and chia for the base. And another thing I like about it is it doesn't taste bad. A lot of times when there's superfoods, fruits, and veggies in there, it can kind of have, shakes can kind of have like a grassy taste to them or whatnot. But this has more of a, I think it's because they use coconut milk in there. It has a nice creamy, smooth, chocolatey taste to it, which is pretty cool. The other really neat thing about this product is it's portable. Basically, Badass Vegan packaged it up in a bottle, and there's a disc in there that blends everything up. So you have a bottle with powder inside and a disc, and it's sealed, so it's not going to open up on you. And say you're traveling and you need to get on the plane and you want to have something nutritious, for example, you can bring this with you, get past check-in, and pour some water and shake and go. Maybe after a workout and you're looking for something really fast, and you take this and nutritious, you can take this with you and just add water. So I think it's a pretty genius idea, actually, to have something prepackaged in a bottle that you could literally just add water to. And they found a way to process it, you know, to freeze dry everything so that all the ingredients still have their nutrition and it's portable. Anyhow, I really like it. I like the taste of it. I like the nutritional profile as well. You get a solid 20 grams of protein in there, and you still get some carbohydrates, about 16 grams and 9 grams of fat as well. Basically, it makes for a good on-the-go meal, snack, post-workout meal. Anytime where you don't have access to healthy food on the go, this item is pretty cool. So Check it out on our site when you get a chance at veganproteins.com. It's the Badass Vegan Power Shake. All right, everybody. Moving on to our question segment. This one is anonymous, and it's from Facebook. I cycle my training to match what my hormones are doing. I use a chart from hormonehoroscope.com. I feel strongest as estrogen rises, so I use those days for my heaviest lifting. Mid-cycle, as estrogen suddenly drops off and progesterone comes into play, is my worst couple of days. Typically, I use these days for something light, but occasionally I need to actually perform well at this time. Even when I try to push through it, my performance still suffers and my recovery is delayed. I feel fine in general, I just have no strength. Everything I lift feels twice as heavy. Is there something I can eat or do that will help me perform like my usual self? Thank you for your help. You know, I think you
probably have a little more experience with this, Danny. I'll let you take this one.
Yeah, sure. So this is true of some women. They feel stronger or weaker at various parts in their menstrual cycle. Halfway through, as estrogen starts to drop off, is usually a little bit early for most women to start to feel kind of weak. And the biggest thing that you need to be aware of during this time is making sure you're getting enough iron and making sure that you are absorbing that iron. It may be worth getting a prick test to see what your iron levels are right around that time, to see if that is what is causing it. And I always think it's a good idea to get a full hormone panel done every once in a while, especially if you're female, because hormones are, it's like a symphony of things that are all working. You know, it's, if one thing is off, everything's kind of off. So it's always a good idea to get them checked out, make sure everything's in order. Women have crazy hormone problems. I know, because I'm one of the people who have crazy hormone problems. But as far as weakness goes, specifically, making sure that you get enough iron would be number one on my list. If that turns out to not be the case, I recommend getting it checked out before you start taking iron, because taking iron supplements, if you don't need them, can be bad for you. So find out if you need them before you start taking them. Making sure that you get a good amount of sleep, because your hormone cycle can throw off the quality of your sleep. So trying to take extra care that you get a decent amount of sleep, good quality. Try to keep the room super dark and keep, you know, pets out of it if at all possible would be helpful as well. And focusing on really nutrient-dense foods, making sure you're really hydrated. I don't have any magical surefire solution to this problem, but Australians recently, I'm not sure how recently at this point, did a study on women and found that in general, women burn 30% more fat right around the week of their period. So I would recommend trying to still push during that week of the month, especially if you sometimes have to perform, you know, for a competition or something like that. While this is happening, it's good to train for that situation. It may not be your best day lifting ever, but if you keep trying to lift on those days, you know, you might surprise yourself. You might find yourself getting better, and you could be psyching yourself out too, just sort of expecting to feel crappy. So keep training hard, trying it out during that time of the month, and see how that goes after a while, if you're able to progress even when your estrogen is dropping off. I wish I had a more concrete answer for you, but I'm guessing that it is probably iron more than anything else. But definitely talk to a doctor about it.
And we have one more anonymous question. Working out equals thicker thighs and butt, needing bigger pants. This is the hardest thing for me to accept. I can no longer get my thighs into a size 2. My waist is fine, but now even the 4s are a bit snug in my legs. I am trying not to let this derail me. Part of me wants to just go back to trying to be skinny. Ugh. Anyone else struggle with this?
This is super, super common, and we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier. As you progress in weightlifting and working out, typically your waist gets smaller and the muscles in your thighs and your butt get bigger. I say embrace it. I like that body type a lot, so it doesn't really bother me. But I've come to find out that it doesn't matter if you're a size 2 or a size 12. If you're in pants that don't fit, you're going to feel like crap. I've said this for years. It doesn't matter how skinny or ideal or whatever your body type is. If your clothes don't fit right, you're not going to feel good. So as much as you don't want to get new clothes, it's a really good idea to go find clothes that fit you and make you feel good while you're wearing them. I never thought in a million years that I would say this, but I'm all for the jegging craze. I hate the word jegging. Whoever made up that name needs to be punched. But, you know, super stretchy jeans, which is what I will call them. Super stretchy jeans, they're flattering to that type of a figure with thicker thighs and a bigger butt and a little waist. They still fit your waist, so they're not gapping away from you in a really uncomfortable way. If you get pants, if you go buy regular jeans that are going to fit your thighs and your butt, they're going to be like falling off your waist because the waist is going to be too big. And a lot of women feel really uncomfortable about this because you're just always trying to get smaller. That's what so many women spend their entire lives trying to make sure that they're small enough. And when you start weightlifting, there's a physical shift, and a lot of times that happens before the mental shift does. So your body starts to grow in certain places, and you're just not psychologically ready for that yet. And, you know, you may not be. It may just not be for you. But I recommend trying to embrace it. It's a stronger, more abled body that can do things it couldn't do before. And I'm just going to say that body type is hot. So I don't know if the goal is to be super hot or not, but thick thighs and a big round butt and a little waist, I'm not complaining about that. I'm just saying. So, you know, don't stress about the size, same way as the weight. Don't stress about the size of clothes that you need to buy. Like, who cares? Women's sizes aren't regulated anyway. Like, a size 2 in one brand equals a size 8 in another brand. So the number on the jeans really is completely, completely useless. Guys have it way better in that regard. Yes, a lot of women deal with this and struggle with this at first, but if you learn to embrace it, it's a really beautiful thing. All right, everybody, and that concludes episode 6 of Vegan Proteins Muscles by Brussels Radio. We hope you enjoyed everything, and if you have any questions that you'd like to hear answered on the show, you can get at us on Instagram. We're at Vegan Proteins and at LeaningGreen719. We're also on Twitter at Vegan Proteins and Facebook Vegan Proteins. So feel free to let us know any questions you want to have answered, and we will talk to you in 2 weeks.
Bye.